This is the Sports Kings, brought to you by Kings Court in Houston on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
All right, folks, welcome to the Sports Kings Show here on a Thursday, February 22nd, 2018. And you know what? Since the Super Bowl, this month has just flew by. We're a couple of days away from March.
That's crazy. I thought January kind of went by not quick, but I mean, it was, you know, it is what it is. But February is going by too fast. I can't stand it.
It's crazy.
And then you know, to me, I kind of feel like we've gotten the groove of things of college basketball and everything. And now I feel like it's already about to be over.
No, it hasn't even started. As a matter of fact, that's a big part of the show tonight, folks. We're going to be talking a lot about college basketball. March Madness right around the corner. But even before college basketball, March Madness, we have the conference tournaments. We're going to dig deep into just where things look at what possible teams might get in, what conferences might have the most teams to get in, the top 25, and we have a treat for you. We'll bring on the experts, as we always do on the Sports King Show. Chris Darbertine, I believe, SB Nation college basketball writer, will join us to talk about bracketology.
A bracketologist.
A bracketologist. Is that like a degree for
that?
Yeah,
you need a degree. I think you might have to go to grad school for that as well.
Is Jose a bracketologist?
I don't think so. He probably flunked out.
Yeah. We always catch him off guard, don't we?
He's never ready, man. He don't want to be on air. It's all right.
I didn't flunk out.
You didn't flunk out?
I changed my major.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, how you going to put that on the air like that, man?
I like putting them on blast, man. It's all right.
That. All right. As always, the show is brought to you by Kings Court. Now, Kings Court is where we are going to spend most of our NBA playoffs. Okay, so, and we'll talk about that in the second hour of the show, but for the most part, first hour is going to be dedicated to college basketball, including our special guest, Mr. Darbertine.
And it's going to be a fun show, but honestly, I'm really looking forward into the week, too. I mean, there's still a couple games to be played, and there's still, you know, a couple games left in the season. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it here after the break. Folks, stick around. It's the Sports King Show here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
Yeah, just when I thought I was going to get a little renegade tonight, you know, Jose surprised me. I'm trying to stay on that side of his brain, you know. But this is good stuff right here, too. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I've been asking for Freebird for like 3 months already, and he
what's up with that?
I don't know.
Are you ever gonna get Freebird?
No, he don't like me, and he wants to start mess and don't want to play my music. It's fine.
Sports Kings back at you, folks, here on a Thursday night as we get ready to wind down the month of February. And you know, is it so? Technically, it's still winter. Am I right?
Yeah, technically.
So it is, right? Even though
we got a t-shirt on.
Yeah, you got t-shirt and shorts, and this weather. The weather's crazy.
You got a jacket on. And,
I have a jacket because
pants.
It's freezing in here. The air just goes up to probably about 50 degrees in here right now.
Good weather.
So anyway. College basketball, the topic in this first hour, and even as we talk here Thursday night, there's college basketball on every night, but here on another Thursday, we have the Cincinnati Bearcats, and remember, folks, there's no such thing as a Bearcat.
Nope.
We learned that last week.
Don't exist.
Right, but there is such thing as a Houston Cougar, which beat that Bearcat last week. So here's Cincinnati again on national TV. Playing UConn and seem to be taking care of them.
Oh yeah, Mick Cronin has a really, really good team, and they one of the best teams in defense, scoring defense. I think they held all their opponents to under 60 points a game, somewhere around there, rounded off. But, man, they're really aggressive. And in that American Conference, then Wichita State, because I really thought Wichita State was going to go just run away with it, you know, once he got into conference, because they had a really, really tough non-conference schedule. They definitely, you know, challenged themselves and got out there and got a couple good wins. But coming to the American Conference, I mean, they kind of fell off just a little bit. You know, the wheels wasn't really turning. But also, I really think Cincinnati kind of snuck in and didn't really have on a lot of people's radar, honestly, because, you know, when you think Cincinnati, you really think across the street over there at Xavier, what Chris Mack is doing over there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get a lot of pub. But, man, what Mick Cronin is doing with that Cincinnati team is real good.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, even despite a couple of woes there, you know, they've only lost two games in the conference. And one of those were, you know, last week to Houston. But right now, just looking at this here, I mean, they no wonder they're up 20-something points tonight. They're trying to get off this two-game losing streak here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something they need to do right away. But you're right. And, you know, who would think that we would be talking about the American Athletic Conference this late in the season, especially with they could get four teams, Cincinnati, Wichita, Houston, maybe Tulsa.
Maybe. That's a big stretch.
Tulsa's a stretch, but
this is the thing too, Gene. Like we're just saying how they're playing against UConn, and this is not what we're used to seeing. Whenever you know UConn is playing, to see them as such a big deficit right now, so I'm pretty sure that, you know, the folks, you know, up there in Connecticut are not really happy about that.
Well, no, because that's just not the type of ball you're right that we are used to seeing. But it's kind of funny though, because ever since they left the Big East Conference, it hasn't been the same for them.
Right? I mean, ever since the whole, you know, everyone kind of just went their own ways, and now the Big East is a whole bunch of private
schools.
It's hard
not to, yeah, because you just used to think UConn, and they used to be in the Big East, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, up there in Madison Square
right.
Garden.
Yeah, so I just kind of weird not seeing them in there. But Kevin Ollie, I mean, we were talking during the break on whether or not he would keep his job. But are we being a little harsh on the guy? I mean, he was just in the national championship game, you know, a couple of years ago.
Straight out of Dallas, man. And especially down here, I think we really respect him.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie's a good guy.
And especially, I mean, once he took on that role, too, because, I mean, he went in with a whole bunch of talent and, you know, took the team.
Replacing a legend at coach? In Calhoun?
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
I mean, it was definitely a lot to take in. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure the UConn faithful is not really used to this. They haven't really been spitting out the products as well, too, getting out there. Because it's all of recruiting is changing as well, too. And that's another thing that we'll probably get into one day. But this is the whole thing of, you know AAU and the things are going. And we'll get into it probably about that later, too, about just, you know, how what ends up you know becoming the reason why some kids pick, you know, what school and different things like that. But it's a whole, you know, big transition for them.
So I know you said it was a stretch that you know, four teams would get into the NCAA tournament from the American.
Well, you said that. I didn't say that.
No, you said it's a stretch. I'm saying that there's a chance that four could get in, and the reason why I said that. Okay, and yeah, Cincinnati is definitely in, but you know, you got Wichita State, Houston and Tulsa, they're all on a 5-game winning streak. Now, rarely do you see that three teams that bunched up together in their own conference. This is the time you want to be hot.
Yeah.
They're going to remember what you did lately. And I didn't realize how significant the Houston win was over Cincinnati last week, because Houston is the only team in that conference that's undefeated at home.
Yeah. That's a big thing. Yeah.
That is huge. You know, I mean, 13-0. I can't think of any of the big teams here that are winless. I mean, you know, haven't lost a game at home.
Right, and we were talking about the American Conference, but you got to look at, you know, the ACC and the Big 12 and even the SEC. The SEC is about to produce a lot of teams in that tournament too. And to me, I think the biggest question for me is just how many teams are going to come out the Big 12 and why? Because we already kind of know about their new system with the quadrants and everything like that. And I was watching a game on ESPN. I heard Dickie V say, quadrants, fire hydrants, I don't know what they mean. You know, what happened to the old eye test and, you know, just looking at a team and just, you know, saying if that team is good enough. And honestly, it's too much. Like, it's even
always
trying to calculate RPI and doing all that.
They always find a way to complicate this thing.
It's over my head, honestly.
Always find a way to complicate.
And I kind of get, you know, the whole understanding of the quadrants and why it kind of matters. And also, you kind of give those guys who win on neutral sites a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of things that you kind of leave out. Because, for example, I know Texas A&M is really up there in RPI. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's essentially a different team from what they started with. I mean, they went a week and lost three players. Williams mm-hmm. is, you know, not the same player that he used to be. He got sick, you know, middle of the year, and when he came back, he looked really light. He looked like he lost a little weight and got a little edge off, and he was supposed to be a top 10, you know, NBA prospect, and mm-hmm. now it might not be looking the way that, you know, favoring to him, but him, DJ Hogg, and all the other guys up there, I know they got a really tight squad, but now their rotation is cut shorter. How's that going to affect them in the SEC going on forward? Because they're on a three-game losing streak.
And that's why the next segment, folks, you got to stick around and listen, because we're going to bring on a bracketologist, an expert, SB Nation writer Chris D'Albertine, who has, you know, a lot to say about what David just mentioned and you know, Texas A&M and looking at the SEC. The SEC is not as strong in basketball as it has been. I mean, as a couple of, you know, new teams up there. It's not your Kentucky's up there. It's Auburn and Tennessee right now that's leading the way in the SEC. And the Arkansas Razorbacks are playing. You know, they may have won enough games this year, especially on national TV, to get that invitation. And then you still got your SEC tournament. You got, you know, your shoe-ins. You know, you win your conference tournament, you're automatically in there.
It is a little weird to see Bruce Pearl out there in Auburn.
It is. Knowing that he was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I know. It's awkward, actually.
It is a different look for them. But also, I mean, Tennessee has been doing this thing, too. Because the SEC is, like you said, we kind of expect the Kentuckys and kind of mm-hmm. take over. Mm-hmm. It's a younger team than not saying what Calipari is used to, but is this a team that really hasn't founded just yet? It's usually, you know, they, you know, have a senior or two, or, you know, that one junior that kind of sticks around a little bit, and they don't really have that leadership. So they're still trying to find that and kind of gel a little bit. But I think, to me, it all really going to fall down on the Big 12 and what they're going to be able to do, because a lot of people have Oklahoma and Texas and Baylor kind of being those last teams to get in. Mm-hmm. And in a way, they're still kind of fighting for a spot, because they still got to, you know, solidify themselves as being kind of worthy of that. I know Baylor has a couple big games coming up, too. And to kind of, I think it will actually be, you know, pretty good if you're going to have, you know, Trae Young and Oklahoma in, because at least he give, you know, something to watch. And also, you can kind of say the same thing about Texas and Mo Bamba. It's a pretty well, you know, team over there that Shaka Smart has, too.
Yeah, Shaka Smart. I tell you, this guy has worked his way up the ranks. I remember, and you know what?
I was at the Final Four with him at VCU.
Yeah, when he had the Virginia Commonwealth University, so I tell you what, we're gonna get more into college basketball.
Stick around for our. Wow.
I know Jose does it to us every time.
Yeah.
So I know we
gotta pay the bills.
yes, we do. So when we come back, we should have our guests on to talk a little bit more about college basketball and what to expect for the upcoming tournament. So you're listening to Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramon.
All right, we are back once again here on the Sports Kings show, and continuing on with our college basketball conversation here, and we decided to sort of take a break and just defer. You know, we can always defer. Just when, you know, because we always think we're right. But always. There's someone that's probably a little bit smarter than us when it comes to this stuff. And we have a special guest for you joining us here tonight on the Sports Kings show. He is a college basketball bracketologist. And we're happy to have him because he's an SB Nation writer. We're talking to Chris D'Albertine. Chris, what's up, man?
Just watching Purdue right now, they kind of act like they need some water thrown on them. They need to wake up a little bit. Getting ready for tomorrow's big bracket update.
So, Chris, I tell you what. So, yeah, I bet you are watching Purdue, because I think you have some high expectations of Purdue, right? I mean, if I'm correct, you probably have them somewhere up there in the rankings and possibly getting the number one seed. Am I right?
probably looking more like a 2 or a 3 right now. The thing with the Big Ten this year is the Big Ten really only has 4 teams that look like they're going to make the tournament, and the rest of the league has just been pretty terrible. Roughly half the league has been in the bottom outside of the RPI top 100 all season, which has really limited the quality win opportunity. So Purdue and Michigan State's kind of in the same boat. You know, they're kind of limited in terms of what they're going to be able to do against teams like Virginia and Villanova and Xavier and Kansas and Auburn and North Carolina and Duke even, that are playing in conferences that are a lot deeper, have a lot more quality teams, are able to rack up more quality wins. So I think Purdue is going to be in good position, probably a 2 seed when things are all said and done. But I don't think they're going to end up getting enough quality wins to be a #1 this year.
Chris, I got to ask you, I see a lot of people having the SEC up pretty high because I'm really favored in the Big 12 right now. They look like a really strong conference. But how many guys do you really see going in the SEC? And I wanted to ask you, too, about Texas A&M because I think they're really in an interesting position because if you look at their record, you don't really see them, you know, as going anywhere. But speaking of, you know, RPI and everything else, you know, a lot of people kind of have them going. But even though their roster has changed a little bit, you know, where do you see them panning out? And also, it's the whole SEC in general. How many do you see coming out of there?
The most teams the SEC has ever had is 6. And lately, they've been really kind of in that 4-bid range. Sometimes they've been dipping down to 2 or 3 in really bad years. This year, they're looking at 8 or 9. And I think they're probably going to end up getting 9. And a couple things you got to think about. You bring up Texas A&M. And one thing the committee always looks at is, you know, how is a team playing with their complete roster? The Aggies have their complete roster. Granted, they didn't play all that great the other night in losing to Mississippi State at home. They've lost 3 in a row. They were kind of going back on the upswing, kind of getting back towards that 5 or 6 range in terms of their seeding. Now they're dropping back down to that 7 or 8. You know, they haven't really gotten that consistency you'd think they'd have with their entire healthy roster and with the full backcourt. The team that I'm really kind of most interested to see what happens kind of on that same front is Missouri, because we had some news today that Michael Porter Jr. has been cleared for basketball activities. You know, he's been, you know, on the court a little bit. He's been warming up. You know, is he going to actually play? You know, when is that going to happen? Because one thing you have to think about in terms of the committee as well is if you're a team that's bringing a player back relatively late in the season, you want to do it so that you have enough games where you can kind of give the committee a sample size of what you're able to do with him in the lineup, make sure it hasn't affected your chemistry too much, make sure, you know, things are still kind of clipping along. So if he comes back relatively soon and Missouri really gets rolling, that's a team that's kind of in the 7-8 range right now that, you know, who knows, they end up getting on a hot streak in the SEC. Maybe they go far in the SEC tournament. Maybe they end up as a, you know, 4 or 5 just because of his presence.
Oh, wow. And that's kind of crazy to think about because, I mean, of course, I really didn't expect Missouri to do too much ever since, you know, I found out that he wasn't going to be playing. Mm-hmm. But you used to see the transition, though. If he was to really get in there, that really kind of changes the dynamic to that team a little bit. You know, he starts playing with his brother and everything. But the next question I wanted to ask you was about the Big 12. And I see a couple of good teams out of there, too, as well. But I kind of see Texas and Oklahoma slipping just a little bit. And yeah. Do you think, you know, if Oklahoma kind of slips up a little bit and they kind of get in a bad position, because I think some brackets have them, you know, like around that 9, 10, 11 range.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see them kind of panning out at? Because I know for sure they're going to have to kind of win out for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, they have to. They've lost 6 in a row. They've got 2 winnable home games coming up, Kansas State. So that's kind of almost, you know, KenPom gives that a 64% chance of a home win. Because Kansas State's playing really well right now.
Oh, yeah.
Iowa State they should probably take care of. The crucial game, I think, for them is coming up on Tuesday where they go to Baylor. Because Baylor's kind of in a similar position where they're trying to play their way in as well. And Oklahoma has not done well. They got swept by Texas in the last 6 games. They lost at Iowa State. You know, they have not played well when they've really had to, and that Baylor game is really going to be a big test for them. I think if they lose that game, they're probably going to have to get to at least the Big 12 semifinals to really be sure, because they are really not finishing strong at all.
Hey, folks, once again, we are talking to Chris Dobertin from SB Nation, and he's a writer for college basketball and a bracketologist. So, Chris, if I hear you right here, and we talked about the SEC, and you said possibly, 7 to 8 teams there could get in, and then we're looking at the Big 12 here. And so are we saying that maybe five teams from the Big 12, is that what I'm hearing, that might get in?
I think we could have as many as eight teams from the Big 12, because even if Oklahoma flips out, Oklahoma State is actually still in the picture too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, there is the opportunity for the Big 12, which remember has 10 teams, to send 80% of its membership to the tournament.
Wow.
And I say Kansas State is that real sleeper team, because I believe they only lost to, I believe, Texas Tech, West Virginia, and Kansas twice. So there goes their losses. But they've been beating teams that they're supposed to beat. And I think that what really makes them look like they have a sexy resume, right?
Yeah. And really the change in the quality win definition this year has really kind of helped them out and really kind of boosted, you know, their profile, especially with a really strong Big 12. They've done a good job in taking care of the teams that they should beat that are kind of at their peer level in the Big 12, and that's really kind of separated them from the rest.
Chris, and I also wanted to ask you too, so how do you feel about this system, about the quadrants and everything? I kind of get, you know, I guess mixed reviews depending on who you're asking. And earlier I kind of said about how Dick Vitale was kind of making fun of it, and I kind of expect him to kind of be a little bit against it because, you know, he's kind of an old school type of guy. But do you think this kind of helps the committee out a little bit?
I think it's a good start. I think it probably needs a little bit more tweaking after this year, just because I think especially the definition for quality road win might be a little too much. But I definitely think that it's a good start. I mean, you should probably get a little bit less credit for that home court advantage that this system gives you. So it's a good start. A little bit more work needs to be done in the offseason. I think that if they work a little bit more in terms of advanced metrics, as they've been talking about, it'll really help develop a better selection product as we move into future seasons.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I know that Kansas and Texas Tech game is going to be looking really good on Saturday. And honestly, I just want to get your insight, because I know Texas Tech was able to sneak one against Kansas. And now that I saw Oklahoma play at Kansas, and I know they kind of had – I mean, when I saw Oklahoma play at Texas Tech, they kind of had some vendetta, and the crowd was getting a little nasty with them and everything. But how do you think that game's going to pan out a little bit?
I think that Kansas is going to have, you know, Kansas has really started to play a lot better for the past couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But they've really taken advantage of getting a couple of good games at home. And I think that the environment in Lubbock, especially with the Red Raiders having the shot to really at least kind of steal a share of that Big 12 title from Kansas, I think that's going to be a big difference. And Texas Tech is definitely going to be confident having gone into Lawrence and beaten them already, beaten them relatively handily as well. So I think that's the thing to kind of keep an eye on. I think this is going to be a real challenge for Kansas going into a hostile environment after, you know, picking up a couple relatively easy home wins.
Hey, Chris, I got to ask you this question because, you know, and I'm going to say this now. It looks like, you know, your powerhouse teams are still Villanova and that Big East and Xavier. But I got to ask you this because I know you're the expert here. Are you impressed with how Butler and Creighton has done since joining the Big East?
Yes, because, I mean, it's definitely been a major step up in competition, even though, you know, Butler, you know, had a nice little challenge in the A-10 for that single season before they moved over. But the Missouri Valley is a very different beast than, mm-hmm. you know, what the Big East is now, especially in terms of the travel. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really big thing. And, you know, we saw a little bit with Wichita State making that transition from the Missouri Valley to the American earlier this season. They struggled a little bit earlier in conference play. But the fact that, you know, Creighton has really been able to kind of step up with that same kind of change in the travel has really made things especially impressive for me.
Okay. All right. Hey, Chris, man, I tell you what, we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight, and we definitely got to have you back, man. We're talking about the whole month of March. You know, save some time for the Sports Kings on your calendar because we got to get you back.
I will definitely do that, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, all right. Chris Dobertine, SB Nation writer, talking college basketball here. And yeah, I guess, you know, we're coming up on a break, but we a lot of stuff I want to talk about, especially with that, with the the SEC. The SEC. Because I'm just trying to say how many teams that we, you know, that's a lot of teams that could possibly get in there. And I saw some records that didn't really look all that, you know, great. But hey, It's the tournament, so there's always surprises. So anyway,
still more games left to be played.
Exactly. Huh? So still more Sports King show left to talk about, folks. So we'll see you right back here after the break.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
Okay, and we are back continuing on here in our first hour of the Sports Kings show here on SB Nation Radio. We just finished a very good conversation with SB Nation sports writer, college basketball sports writer, Chris Dobertine, talking about college basketball. Brought up some pretty good topics there. And although I'm going to have to, you know, challenge him a little bit on the SEC. I mean, I know this tournament, the SEC conference tournament to be played, and that definitely everybody's conference tournament has a lot to do with who gets in. But I just don't know if I see that many teams getting in. So you can put 7 or 8 from the SEC, and then you're going to put another 6 in from the Big 12? I don't
possibly
know.
Possibly 8.
That's 14 of the 64 teams that we talk about getting in this thing.
Yeah, and it kind of leaves a little bit of a cushion for those bigger Power 5 schools. But, yeah, there's no room for error for any of those other schools, you know, especially in the smaller conferences. But if you're in the Big East or in the Atlantic 10, you kind of know who's going to the tournament or who's definitely worthy enough to go to the tournament. Because in the Atlantic 10, you really only have maybe Rhode Island and St. Bonaventure. Other than that, mm-hmm. I mean, who else are you really looking at? Because, I mean, everyone else is going to just get their tournament champion just to go. And other than that, I don't think there'll be any, you know, crazy at-large bids. Because even in the West Coast Conference, it's just going to be Gonzaga, St. Mary. So at the top, you got two, you know, coming from every other conference out there.
I mean, I'm really disappointed in Georgetown because, you know, at 5-10 in the conference, and they have a hell of a conference. I watched some good Georgetown games this year, and of course they did lose. Those 10 were to some of these big guys here, but you know, at 15-11 overall record, I mean, it's been an interesting year for Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, it's his first. He's still new. Even though he had, you know, a long tenure in the NBA of mm-hmm. being an assistant coach, so he's definitely been around the coaching circuit. But for him to actually implement his own players too, because he got a couple good recruits coming in, mm-hmm. and I think that will change a lot. But you know, once he starts, you know, being able to get the players that he wants, and you know, it'll start turning around a little bit. Because I ain't gonna lie, it was the really good game to see him coaching again. Against Mullen at St. John's, and honestly, it just brought back memories for a lot of people.
Tell me about it. Yeah, and it's funny how they both sit near the bottom of the Big East. There, St. John's not doing that well at all. But I guess if the competition continues between those two, then Georgetown has a slightly better record than St. John's.
And that's the beautiful thing about college basketball too, Gene, is that in some of these conferences, not everyone's going to go winless, you know, in a conference. So on any given day, anyone can beat each other. So that's why in that Big 12, mm-hmm. it's so exciting for me to watch, too, because I didn't really expect Oklahoma State to really be coming up like that. But if they get a chance and kind of do something in that tournament, mm-hmm. kind of turn it around a little bit, it'll be looking good for them, too.
And because we are a national program, you know, it's kind of and this is probably going to be the only show that talks about, of all the shows here on SB Nation Radio, I know we are the only ones that will talk about the Colonial Athletic Conference, man. We're going to talk about Charleston and how they have won 10 in a row and how they are 13-0 at home. And it's one of these little teams right here that will probably get one of those 16-15 seed that might make a little noise. This is what I like about March Madness. Every year there's some – you know, school, I won't even say, I almost said scrub. Because, no, it's not scrub. You spend a lot of money to go to these schools. Or somebody's parents is spending a lot of money for their kids to go to Northeastern, Hofstra, you know, Towson, and James Madison, and all of these schools, Drexel, this, that, and the other. But no, Charleston, keep your eye out on Charleston.
And also, I believe, I'm not even sure what conference they're in, but that's Grand Canyon, have you heard of them? See, nope, yeah.
I've been there, though. Been there about two or three times.
The university in Phoenix, and I want to say they're a school that operates on profit, so it's not a non-profit school. So they're able to swing a little bit, money everywhere. So they put a lot of money in their athletic department because they had a little bit of change.
Maybe they get Grand Canyon profits. If they're that close to the Grand Canyon, maybe they get some of the tourism money. I don't know. What kind of money?
Oh,
it's a college?
It's a college, but it's a profit because, they're supposed to be non-profit. Usually, university is a non-profit, but Grand Canyon is a profitable school. They also do the online schooling and stuff like that, and that's how they make a big bunch of their money. But they're putting just millions of dollars in their athletics, and now they have I think this is their first year in Division I, if I'm not mistaken, and they're just putting two, three, four, million in their athletic facility and able to have a program that's already ready to go. And that's kind of a good little thing to see, too, because, picture if one of those schools gets to get maybe they have to play against second or third seed the first seed with the second, 16th seed. I'm not really too excited about it because,
Never happened, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen one of these days. And that's the exciting part about the tournament. Even though I know we got a lot of basketball to play before the tournament even, gets here. But I know that I can't wait. And this is about the time when a lot of folks really start getting into the conference tournaments are really exciting.
It's going to be big. Really going to be big because it leaves you to believe that. Well, I think all schools just still believe they can still make the tournament because you just got to make that tournament. And I know how that feels. I remember my sophomore year at Texas Southern, we won regular season, so we got our rings, and we're kind of feeling ourselves, kind of being big-headed going into the SWAC tournament, and then we lose to Grambling State, and then we had to
lose to Grambling.
Well, at the time, this is when Grambling was kind of.
Are we talking basketball?
Yeah, we're talking basketball.
Come on now.
Well, actually, Grambling is looking all right now in basketball, and kind of TSU. We kind of hit a little break here and there, but we had a couple good years going into the tournament. But yeah, I think they'll be back. So Coach Mike Davis will have them running again. I ain't gonna doubt that at all. But yeah, so going to the NIT is not fun at all.
Oh yeah, It
doesn't really destroy you at all, but it's just
I will watch some NIT because, once the tournament starts, then you have you got to wait to the weekends, when you get to the NC2A tournament.
Yeah.
To catch your big games, as each round goes. But during the weeknights, you do have the NIT. And it's funny how the NIT gets, slapped in the face at the end of the season, but they start off the college basketball season.
They sure do.
The
NIT. Start off and end off. It's still at Madison Square Garden.
Right. So it's funny how, everybody's there. You got the best schools in the country start off that NIT tournament at the beginning of the year. So great stuff there. We said we were going to bring him back on so we would talk a little bit more about.
A lot of stuff is going to get shaken up by the time that happens too, because of course the tournaments and whenever that's going on, like we said, it still leaves a chance for anyone to still get into the big dance, even though we can make all these predictions of who's going to win, because honestly the Big Ten to me, like I said, there's only four teams that are really up there to grab, but I mean, who knows what's going to happen, because I think Ohio State has had an easier road than the other Big Ten schools. They only played Michigan State once, Purdue once. They played Michigan twice, but I think they played Michigan in November or December before the conference started. So it was before even Michigan started to get rolling, before they even got ranked. So now that's a well-tuned Michigan team right now too. So I think, depending on who you're looking at, what kind of road they're taking, it's still a lot to be tossed up still.
Yeah, but it's funny how, because in one of his articles, folks, he talks about how Oklahoma, that fall from grace, man, Texas really, really exposed the Oklahoma Sooners.
I mean, if you come down to it, Trey Young does, a lot. And he had that one game where, he kind of was down on himself. He had a terrible shooting game, and he kind of switched up his game a little bit. He became a really good pass. Even though he already leads, the NCAA in assists too as well, he was out there doing his thing. I mean, he was able to, make more passes. I believe the next game after that big loss, he was like somewhere like 18 points, but also like 15 assists or somewhere of that nature. So, I mean, he's able to change his game up a lot, but also everyone else is going to have to help him out. You have a couple of guys that are still sticking around from that old Final Four team from Oklahoma, and they need to show that they've been there before. So I think they're going to need that leadership still. And, you know, Young can't do it all. Yeah, he's a freshman and he's great, but it's definitely a collective to get that far.
Well, remember this name here, Middle Tennessee State, one of the hottest college basketball teams right now in NC2A Division I basketball. They have won 9 straight, and right now they currently rank number 24 in the country.
Yeah, Joe Lunardi has them as an 11th seed right now, and so that's pretty big time.
Yeah, that's pretty big time for Middle Tennessee State, who could be, you know, one of those Cinderella teams to go far. And how about Texas Tech?
I was just about to bring them up because I think what Chris Beard has been doing with that team is amazing. And also, Keenan Evans is a very underrated guard, even though, you know, he's a senior, he's up there. And I think he recently had a toe injury. He hasn't been 100%, but they're really going to need him because other than Keenan Evans, they have 2 freshmen, Zaire Smith and Derek Kilver. Mm-hmm. They have 2 guys. They're both 6'5". Both are swingmen. They shoot the 3. They're really good. But to have all that, and especially when you're playing against Kansas this weekend, you're playing it at home, but you're still going to need a lot. So Keenan Evans, hopefully, if he's 100%, they're really going to make it a game because that Kansas team, even though they didn't have the hottest start, it's not the usual Kansas whenever they're just beating everybody in the Big 12 and they're just running away with it. The Big 12 is still up to grabs. I mean, Devontae Graham is still, to me, one of the best guards in the whole nation. Well, with Vic and Izabuki, you know, helping him out, it's an amazing Kansas team whenever they start getting rolling because, honestly, once they do have that transition offense going, they're really hard to stop because they're so quick back and forth. And like I said, Izabuki is a beast in the post. And the way he rebounds and gets the ball, the only team that I really see that can really give them hell is West Virginia. And I do believe it's going to be them, too, in the Big 12 championship because – it's so amazing how West Virginia – we can see 2 different West Virginia teams. Mm-hmm. Yes, we see them press and we see them work hard on defense, but they go through those slumps where they can't really find it on offense. Mm-hmm. Devontae Carter is really, really good on offense, but also, like I said, he focuses a lot on defense, and sometimes they kind of slack it just a little bit on offense, just a little bit, though. Konate is, like, the best – to me, the best defender in the whole Big 12 and maybe in the whole nation, and he's not even that tall. I think he's, like, 6'8", 6'9", but I believe he leads the nation in blocks, and he's an amazing dude too as well. So to see both of them maybe end up, but it wouldn't surprise me though if someone else sneaks in the Big 12 and takes it from both.
But man, I never thought, you know, I would say that this tournament is definitely going to be worth watching.
Oh yeah. To me, it's
going to be pretty.
It's going to be the tournament that I probably watch in entirety. Honestly, even when it comes
Dallas?
To this,
we have to go up to Dallas to see this.
I believe it's back in Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's back. It's, I right. think it's back in, you know, back in their grassroots.
So congratulations to the Houston Cougars for cracking the top 25.
Finally, well-deserved.
First time in I don't know how long. It's been a long time.
Even whenever they did make the tournament, I believe it was back in Conference USA days whenever they beat Memphis out 1 year. And other than that, I don't think it's been too many times you to see them crack the top 25. But
no, that's
I think, but I think Coach Sampson definitely got something brewing because I say if you just get some of the top guys in the Houston area or in the Texas area, you can just do a lot with that by itself. You don't really have to be going. I remember when Tom Penders was down here at U of H and he used to grab 4 or 5 guys from New York and go to Cali and get somebody. Yeah. And it was just like, hey, Tom, I know you know what you're doing, but, you know, you got some guys in the backyard that can also do the same thing.
Yeah, it's always good when you can get them homegrown. And a state the size of Texas, good Lord, you should find some great talent all over the place. So very, very interesting. I know in the next hour we will talk about the professionals. The NBA has made its return tonight as the second half of the season gets to start. So who we got? Is it the Cleveland Cavaliers
and Washington?
Washington, pretty good matchup to start off the season. Yeah. So the NBA All-Star game.
I enjoyed the All-Star game, but did not enjoy the festivities on Saturday.
Okay.
I'll say that.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that anyway. So I know we got a break, folks. Stick with us. Hour number 2, talking about the NBA here on a Thursday night. It's the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
This is Eric Kendricks from the Minnesota Vikings, and you listen to SB Nation Radio.
Now back to SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Yeah, that song right there, man. That's
you gonna drop the bass down a little bit?
Put you in the zone of some kind. All right, it's the last segment here of the first hour of the Sports King Show here on SB Nation Radio. You just heard a ton of college basketball talk here, and we're not even done, folks, because over the next couple of weeks, whether it's on TV or radio, there's going to be a lot of college basketball. So pick your team now and stick with them. And if you're in Las Vegas, of course, you can go down there. You know, I still have a winning ticket from the Super Bowl that I didn't cash in.
Yeah, that was it was actually kind of a sight to see every time I passed by a sport, you know, the sport books place at all the casinos. I didn't get to see the one at the Westgate.
The Westgate is the
one. I didn't get to pass by the Westgate.
That's where I got, I think I have $150 that I did just left Vegas.
Oh, man.
I think I got a year. You know, you can mail the tickets in and they send you the money.
Oh, man. See,
I can't go back there just to get $150.
Yeah, that's true. And this is my thing, too. I think I was standing too close to those Fat Tuesdays whenever I was down there in Vegas. Other than that, I didn't really pay attention to nothing else.
Fat Tuesdays?
Yeah, Fat Tuesdays.
That's what they call them girls?
Really? Try to get me in trouble here?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Is that a drink or something?
Big drink. Actually, no, I had the smaller cup, but it was a nice little novelty cup, and it was really cool because, I mean, right when you step out of one casino, is this a Fat Tuesday at another casino and you just refill?
It was all work. I don't think, you know, I didn't get to indulge when we were there.
Well, that was my first time, so I was just trying to see as much as
I can. You behaved very well.
Oh, I'm always well-behaved.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to behave too. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back for the second hour of the Sports King Show right here on SB Nation Radio.